Oh, yeah, that's something worth celebrating. We finish and celebrate. That's the theme that we're looking at today. And let me just tell you, that video is going to be available online. You just watch for it. It's just a lot of information, but we want you to see how God has blessed through your generosity. Finish and celebrate. Well, we're going to be wrapping up this series on living forward today, but I want us to end by coming back to right where we began with that passage of Scripture from Philippians chapter 3. And in fact, I want to challenge you to read this passage aloud with me, if you would. It says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." He's telling us to finish and to celebrate. Would you agree that finishing matters in every area of your life? It matters. 10 days ago, my parents celebrated their 71st wedding anniversary. Isn't that crazy? It's amazing. I think there ought to be a prize or something you get when you've done that. Now listen, a good beginning is a beautiful thing, a beautiful thing. But man, nothing compares to finishing well together. Finish and celebrate. You know what happens today, don't you? At the end of today, we're going to know the names of the two teams that are actually going to play in the Super Bowl. At the beginning of the season, man, we all had our hopes. We all had our dreams. We all had our picks. Some of our teams started off with a great beginning, but somewhere along the line, they kind of fizzled. A good beginning is important, but we all know that what really matters is how do you finish and celebrate. 15 years ago today, a 45-year-old preacher packed everything that he needed in the back of a U-Haul truck. His books, his desk, his clothing, and I can remember that day like it was yesterday. I remember closing that door, kissing Diana goodbye. I got in and began a 2-day trek that would take me from Denver, Colorado to Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Little did I know on that day that this would be the final stop on my ministry journey. Now listen, I got to tell you, I have served a lot of fine folks along the way. We have been so loved and blessed by congregations and by people, and we have loved others so much. But little did I know 15 years ago that I would be at this place where God would say to me, "Now just finish well. You got to finish well. Finish and celebrate." And let me just say, that's not a word just for me. That's a word for every one of you in every area of life. How you finish matters in your family, in your work, in your relationships. You want to finish well. Well, today as we open the Scriptures, we're going to be looking at this theme of finishing. And instead of just looking at one verse, we're actually going to look at several different verses where we hear this echo of finishing. And we're going to be looking at three different people. One of these people is, I would dare say, an unknown guy. Maybe you've never even heard about him before. And then we're going to hear from a well-known guy who talks about the very same thing. And then finally, we're going to talk about the one who must be known. So if you have your Bibles, three places today: Colossians 4:17, 2 Timothy 4:7, and John 17:4. I'm going to give you a minute to find those verses. But I also want you to know they're going to be on the screen just in case you couldn't find all three of them that quickly. And while you're looking for that, let me introduce myself to you. My name's Kevin Lee. I'm one of the pastors here. And I want to ask you to do what we ask you to do every week, and that is to complete that digital Connect card. If you would, to access that, you just scan this QR code on the screen behind me or in the chair in front of you, and you fill that out. When you get to that weekly bulletin at the top, there's a link. You click on it. You fill that out. And listen, if this is your first or your second time to actually fill that card out, you hadn't done it before, you're actually going to be a blessing to another local ministry that we've partnered with an additional $10 gift just because you took the time to fill that out. All right, now, like I said, we're going to be looking at the finish of three different individuals, an unknown, a well-known, and the one who must be known. So let's just read these verses together. All right, the first one is Colossians 4:17. The Apostle Paul writes this word. He says, "And say to Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you." All right, quick show of hands. How many of you remember Archippus? Good old Archippus. You remember all the stories about Archippus? No. He's kind of an unknown guy, isn't it? And look at what Paul tells him to do. He says that you are to carry out. That word means to complete. It means to finish. It literally means you fill to the full this that God has given to you. Bring it to completion in every way. All right, now the second verse we're going to look at is 2 Timothy chapter 4, and that is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. The Apostle Paul writes here, and he says this. He says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful." Now, 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter. This is the last letter that he writes that's part of our New Testament. And he's writing to his protege, his son in ministry. He's writing to Timothy. And what Paul says is, in a sense, he's describing the reality that, Timothy, I'm finished. I have finished the race. I've gotten to the end. Now, finished doesn't just mean finished as in the progression of time. What he's saying is, I have brought everything to completion. I have fulfilled it. I have brought my ministry to the fine finish. Now, this is written by Paul. Okay, same thing. Quick show of hands. How many of you remember the Apostle Paul? There you go. A few more hands. He's the well-known guy. But like I said, there's one other that must be known. And there I want you to look with me to John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying. And Jesus prays this prayer with his disciples in John 17, verse 4. He says, "I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." By the way, that's the exact same word that the Apostle Paul used. It means to finish, to fulfill, to make perfect, to bring all things to its proper end. And let me just say, Jesus is the one that I mean when I'm talking about there is someone that must be known. Jesus is the must-be-known person of the Bible. Everything that is written in the Bible is so that you would know Jesus. Every page of this book is for the purpose that you would know him personally. And so let me just ask you, do you know him? Do you know what he's done for you? You need to know him before you come to your finish. He is the one who must be known. So here we have the three: an unknown, a well-known, and the one who must be known. And they're all talking about the same thing. They're all talking about finishing well. You have to finish well. So my question today is, what does it take for us to finish well? And the first thing is this. Number one, it takes clear focus. It takes clear focus to finish well. You know, this is the time of the year when we all make good starts. The turn the calendar, the first of a year, we're all thinking about, what do I need to change? What do I need to improve? And we begin focusing on what good beginnings we need to make. A lot of times we call those things New Year's resolutions, right? But you know, today's January the 30th, 30 days in. And you know what I know about January the 30th? By the time you get to January the 30th, most of us have finished with all of those New Year's resolutions. And by finished, I don't mean that we brought it to completion. I mean we've just given up. We've quit. We've stopped trying. So what happens to us in that process? Well, I read this article recently about a study of 800 million resolutions, and it says that most of us actually quit by January the 19th. Well, that's not much of a finish, is it? That's just kind of a flash in the pan. Didn't even get 3 weeks. That's not a finish, that's a fail. What causes that? Well, one of the things is a loss of focus. To finish, you have to keep the finish and your focus on the goal. Paul, again, from the words that we read just a moment ago, he said, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. Paul's saying, look, I'm not going to live backwards. I'm not going to be like a crawdad that crawls into the future, always looking at the things that happened in the past. He's going to learn the lessons and move on. He says that he's pushing forward. He presses on. The word there implies effort. He is reaching, he's stretching, he sees the goal line of the race, and he is pushing towards it, remembering, he tells us, that at the end of it all, the finish line, the goal line, is really none other than Jesus Christ himself. He said, that's the finish that I'm after, that someday I'm going to be right there with Jesus Christ. And so again, I ask you the question, do you know him? Have you committed your life to him? Jesus said that there is a final day coming for all of us. And one of the tragedies of the final day, Jesus described this way. He said there's going to be people there who know all about Jesus, but they really don't have a relationship with him. So the question you got to ask yourself is, as you press on towards your own final day, do you know him? You see, to finish, you have to start. And if you've not yet taken that first step of faith, if you've not yet trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've not yet believed in him and accepted what he's done for you on your behalf, today's the day when you need to start. You need crystal clear focus. Start now. The second thing you got to do, then you got to do the hard work. Clear focus, but then you do the hard work. Paul called it pressing on. That word means that there is ongoing motion. There is continuous action. There is this momentum that he is describing. It's hard work. So what do I mean by hard work? Well, let me explain it this way. Years ago, I heard Craig Groeschel say this: your habits will eat your willpower for breakfast. I don't know about you, but man, that resonated with me. Because the habits that you establish in your life often determine the course and the direction that you're headed, not your resolve. You know, a lot of times we start off at the beginning of the year and we resolve, man, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to make, and this is the steps I'm going to take, and we have such great resolve. And then before long, we kind of get off our game and something happens and we stumble, and before you know it, January 19th rolls around and we've already quit. Because we didn't do the hard work. We had the resolve, but we didn't do the hard work. Now, why is that? Well, it's because we have this mindset that I'll just try harder. I failed, so now I'm just going to try harder a second time. And then we fail again. Why? Because we didn't do the hard work. And the cycle continues. So what do I mean by the hard work? I'm talking about that ongoing action that keeps us moving forward. You see, I think something that we need to understand is that all of us have a tendency in our life, in every area of our life, professionally, personally, relationships, we have this tendency to just drift. And let me tell you something, we never drift in a direction of excellence. We always drift away from the goal, from the resolve. And so it takes so much more than just kind of like, you know, a first choice or initial commitment or personal resolve. It all comes down every day to the hard work. every day, day after day, day upon day, doing all those little tiny steps right over and over and over again, and building the right habits into our lives, because your habits will eat your willpower for breakfast. So you create and practice the right habits, and that's the thing that propels you forward to the right finish. That's the hard work. Clear focus, hard work day after day. Listen, that's why every year I literally beg you to be serious about your chair time. It's part of the hard work of building a habit in your life that propels you into God's Word. Listen, it never is about how much of God's Word did you get through. It is always about how much God's Word is getting through you. So you do the hard work every day, day after day, day upon day, right up to the very last day, and you will discover in God's Word the gift of life for you. That's how you do the hard work. That's how you finish. You do the next right thing over and over again. Perhaps one of the best examples of that is just looking at the life of Jesus. Do you have any idea how many times Jesus talked about finishing the work? John chapter 4, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." How did he do that? Every day. Day by day, hard work. John 5:36, "I have a greater witness than John's," he said, "for the works which the Father has given me to do," what? "To finish. The very works are the very works that I do." John 17:4, we read a little earlier, this time in the NIV, it says this, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do." Over and over again, Jesus is always talking about what it means to finish. And in fact, his final words from the cross. Do you remember the last thing he said from the cross? In John 19:30, Jesus said, "It is finished." It's finished. Finished. And that word, it means paid in full. He wasn't just talking about his work. He was talking about your work, paid in full. Jesus did for you what you could never do for yourself. He is for you. That's why I ask you, have you accepted him? Have you put your faith and trust in him? Have you accepted the sacrifice that he made on your behalf, the work that he did? Or are you just going to try and make yourself right with God on your own strength? He said, the work is finished. So if you want to finish well, number one, clear focus, absolute clear focus. Secondly, you do the hard work, that ongoing action. And the third thing is this, you stick together. Now, I think this is where we get off sometimes, because a lot of times we think, listen, it's all up to me how I finish. It's just me. It's just you. But listen, it's never just you or me, it is we. That's the biblical model. It is always we. That's why Paul steps in and he tells Archippus, you got to finish. Now, who in the world is Paul to tell somebody else, you need to finish? Well, listen, this unknown character shows up in one other place in the Bible. His name shows up in this little letter that Paul wrote called Philemon. And Paul begins that letter with these words. He says, "To our sister Apphia and our fellow soldier Archippus, and to the church that meets in your house." You see that word, fellow soldier? It means co-laborer. In other words, Paul's saying, listen, Archippus, man, you and I, we have been in the trenches together. We've been in this fight with each other from beginning. And so it is about us sticking together. And Archippus, it's not just about you and me sticking together. I remember that the church meets at your house. It's about you sticking together. Let me ask you, whose team are you on? Are you on the team I'm excited. Next week we're starting a new series. It's called Love God, Love People. Now those two phrases kind of summarize exactly what God calls us to. If we could ever get those two things down, we'd be doing great. Love God, love people. But this series is kind of special because let me tell you what I'm going to be doing. Over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be preaching to you our First Steps class. It's our membership class. You know, I've been inviting you guys to come to our membership class for years, and many of you have been to that class, and others have signed up, and then for whatever reason, you're not able to attend, and I get it. I understand we're all busy, and a lot of times it doesn't fall at the time when it fits your schedule. Well, I was away at a preaching planning retreat, and it was like the Lord said, Kevin, instead of just always asking people to come to the class, why don't you bring the class to the people? And so there's a good idea. And so for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be preaching our membership class, talking about what it means to be a part of the family of faith, what it means for us to be together, what it means to be a member. And look, I know, a lot of people say, be a member? Really? Do I really need to be a member? I mean, it seems so countercultural. We're kind of at a place in our culture right now where people just aren't joiners. Does it matter? I'm here to tell you, I think it does matter. I think that's why the Bible has phrases like this in it from Romans chapter 12, verse 5, that says, In Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. You got to stick together if you really want to get to the finish. Listen, does membership matter? It sure does. Imagine this, in two weeks, imagine I decided that I was going to go to the Super Bowl. And not just go to the Super Bowl. I went up to one of the coaches and I said to him, listen, I'm ready. I want in. Sign me up. This is my opportunity. I've waited all these years. Put me in, coach. Other than being arrested and hauled off of the stadium, are they even going to consider that? Absolutely not. Why? Because I'm not on the team. Listen, every team has a roster. Every school has an enrollment. The military has an enlistment. And listen, you need a local body of believers, a family of faith, where each member can look out for each other and we can stick together with each other. So listen, over the next few weeks, as we teach First Steps every week, I'm going to give you an opportunity to join the team, to become a part of the family, to sign up for the journey, because we got to do this together. And that brings us to this last thing. In order to finish together, you also get to celebrate together. You celebrate together. Celebration is the fruit of finishing well. In fact, did you know that the last night that Jesus was with his disciples, we call it the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper, when he began talking about that meal, he uses the language talking about finishing and celebrating together. And so as we move into a time for the Lord's Supper, I want us to think about the Lord's Supper as a celebration of the finish. Now, I'm going to ask our band to come back to the stage, and we're going to prepare for the supper. And before we do that, first of all, let me say, if you're watching online, this is your moment to go get some juice and to get crackers, or as you came in, someone may gave you the opportunity to get one of these elements. If you don't have that right now and you need it, listen, all you got to do is raise your hand real high. There are people in the back who will find you, and keep that hand up there, just like this is a revival, and we want to see that hand. You keep your hand up, and we will make sure that we get these to you. You just keep it up while I keep talking. So the Lord's Supper is a celebration, a finish. In fact, I want you to hear I want you to hear the words that Jesus used as he described that supper. In Luke chapter 22, this is what Jesus said. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. And Jesus said, I've been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took a cup of wine and he gave thanks to God for it, and he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. And he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it into pieces and he gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This celebration, this Lord's Supper. Well, the first thing you need to know is this is really not the celebration. Did you pick up on the subtlety of what Jesus was saying? He was saying the celebration's coming. On the last day, that's the celebration. And essentially what he was saying to the disciples is, guys, this is rehearsal. This is practice. Because a celebration is coming, and I want you to be ready. And Jesus said, at the celebration that's coming, he says, oh, you need to know this. I'm going to be there. I'm going to sit around that table with you. And let me tell you what I know because of the promises of Scripture. I know that I'm going to be there. I'm going to sit around the table with him. Let me ask you, do you know that? Do you know that you are going to be at that celebration that is to come? Because let me tell you, Jesus wants you there. He wants you there. And that's why he's telling you in advance, it's coming. And that's why he gave us this supper. This is the dress rehearsal of the celebration that is to come. Now listen, a lot of times when we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, I'll say something like this. If you belong to the Lord, you belong in his table, and you do. If you belong to the Lord, you belong at his table, and we want you to participate. But I remind you that this is just dress rehearsal. And maybe that's why the Bible goes on to tell us that before we participate in the dress rehearsal, we need to examine ourselves. Let's make sure we're ready. And so maybe ask yourself some questions like, have you stepped into faith? Have you really trusted the work that Jesus did for you? It's not you, it's his work. Have you trusted him today? Are you on his team? Really? Are you really on his team? Serving, walking with him. Are you finishing well right now? Or has something entangled you? That's what it means to examine yourself. So in a little bit, we're going to sing together, and that time of singing is actually going to be our time of reflection, our time of personal examination, and we're going to do something a little bit differently, not only this Sunday, but over the next few weeks. Let me describe it to you this way. This altar is going to be open. And what I mean by that is there are times in our lives when we need to literally take a step forward from where we're seated, from where we're standing, so that we are telling ourselves and telling our Lord, look, I am stepping forward. I want to finish well, and I'm going to step forward. And so as we sing this song of reflection, this song of examination, I'm going to invite you, as the Holy Spirit nudges in your heart, to you just respond to that. Listen to it. And if he tells you to move, then move. Take the step. So what might those steps look like? Well, first of all, it may be a step towards Jesus. Maybe you've not yet given your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, and I want to plead with you. Do that today. Don't wait another day. Accept the work that he did for you and boldly step out in faith, saying, I don't understand it all, but I know what God is saying to my heart right now, and I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus. And let me tell you what's going to happen. I promise you that by the time you move from where you are to the time you get down front, somebody will be here to be with you, to rejoice with you, to pray with you, and to rejoice that you've taken that step. Don't miss that celebration. Another step that you may need to take, like I said, we all drift, so the second step is a step back towards Jesus. There comes times in our lives where we look at ourselves and we go, you know, I can remember a time when I was so much closer to Jesus than I am now. What's caused that? Why is so much drift in our lives? Listen, what you do in that moment is you turn around. You beat the path back to Jesus. And so maybe you need to take a step today of coming back and saying, you know what? I need to step into repentance. I need to turn from the sin that has entangled me. I need to be free from that, and I need Jesus in my life. And I need to start living like he's in my life. You need to take the step of confession. It is when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that we are saved. How much more so important that we confess when we have failed. Maybe today, during this time of examination and reflection, this is dress rehearsal for the celebration. You want to do it right, take the next step. And I promise you, if you do, by the time you get to the front, there'll be somebody who'll be with you, who will pray for you, who'll be beside you as you take that bold step of faith. Or maybe the step that you need to take today is a step of obedience. For some of you, that may be baptism. You've known Jesus for a long time. You've often thought, you know, I need to do that. But listen, there is a blessing that comes in taking the steps of faith and walking the line of faith. And again, if God speaks to you by his Holy Spirit and you feel that tug, you feel that nudge in your life, don't wait. You step out and take that step. And I promise you, by the time you get to the front, you're going to have somebody in the family who's going to come alongside you, who's going to rejoice with you. And if it is a baptism decision, listen, by next week, you'll be ready to step into the waters and to walk with your Lord. Now listen, like I said, we're going to sing. But I need to tell you the truth. For those of you that have grown up in church, I just want you to hear me. We're not going to do all seven verses just as I am. All right? You know what I'm talking about? It's not going to go on and on. I want you to hear this. You got a short window. You got a moment here. And whatever God's telling you to do, step into it. Finish well. Whatever he's telling you to do, you step into it with resolve and respond to him. Live forward, clear focus, create the right habits of the hard work, and stick together. So now as we sing, I'm going to invite you to stand. But this is a time for you to examine yourself and to respond to the Spirit of God. Won't you move as he leads you?